there's an exercise that I want you to do. Create a fan of you. Give them a name.
Gemma.
Tell me some more information about her. Does she have kids? How many kids?
She has 3 kids. She lives in North Van, Caucasian, and she's also Spanish. Likes to travel. She enjoys meditation. She married her high school sweetheart. She has 2 dogs, Blue Tesla. As a counselor, young adults, wants to buy her home someday. She currently rents. Does yoga and meditation. Doesn't drink alcohol, coffee, smoke, nothing. She's sober, fit, very organized.
And this will help you with your communication, because you want to think about how you're approaching your fan. You want to know if you're going to approach their head or if you're going to approach their heart.
I automatically was like, only approach the heart. Don't approach the head. You know, like there was like a
That's voice. Okay. You can make a hard decision. It's just a matter of being having intention. It's about being intentional. Mm. And so if we are going to make a heartfelt approach, then specify that.
100%. I don't think it's about the head.
This will end up making part of your code about approaching the heart. I'll use an example of a brand that is clever about doing a bit of both. Tell me what you think of when you think of Cheerios.
Sweet, funny, okay tasting, healthy. The honeybee cartoon comes to mind for sure.
Some of the stuff that you mentioned in the beginning, right? And then you went to like the health and stuff. So zero cholesterol, good for your heart. That's the headspace. That's them approaching the thinker. But when they go to approach the heart, they visually do it through their commercials, right? And their advertising. There is one that came out around Christmas time, a long time ago. It's a grandma and there's a little baby in a high chair. She's like, grandma lives over here. And she uses the Cheerio to like specify where she's at. And she was like, and you live way down here. And this person is all the way over here in this place, but we'll always be together. And she moves them together. We'll always be together for Christmas. And then there's like a funny part, because you said funny. The humor to help that heavy emotion is that the baby eats one of the Cheerios and the grandma says, ah, you just ate Dallas. Do you remember this commercial? I am going to show it to you.
Oh, it's 1999. Oh, wow, it's old. Grandma wanted to be here for yeah. Christmas.
She came a long way. You see, grandma lives way down here and you live way up there. Brian, your cousin, he's a little bit older than you. He lives here in Chicago. And your aunt Lisa, whom you haven't met yet, lives here in Baltimore. Well, that would be your uncle Ernie. He sells swimming pools or something. Oklahoma, I think. New York City. Way out in Hawaii. Oh, but no matter where grandma lives, we'll always be together. For Christmas.
We know how much being together means at the holidays, and Cheerios is happy to be part of the family.
I think you just ate Dallas.
Happy holidays from Cheerios.
That would be Uncle George. He lives in the desert.
So that they went on a heartfelt approach. And what they utilized was understanding that Cheerios is not just cereal. Cheerios get played with. If you give Cheerios to a child, they'll eat them dry without milk. They will play with them. They brought the reality of how people interact with their product into the advertisement. And they touched on the heartstrings because it's the holidays. Everybody wants to get together and they use them to illustrate the distance and then to bring them together. So it's like, okay, that was a brilliant way for it to be done.
Yeah, it was.
It was thoughtful. There was clear intention behind what their product is, who they were trying to sell to, how they were going to sell to them. These are important things for us. This is why we're creating these identifiers, right? So for Demma, think of advertising to yourself. How would you like to be advertised to? You as an artist, what are you selling on an emotional level? What are you selling on a spiritual level? Because Gemma is spiritually inclined. What is your music going to encompass? Let's brainstorm some stuff. What is Angie Faith selling on an emotional and spiritual level?
Growth, authentic connection, and living a life of authenticity, being joyful, being introspective, being playful, peaceful and relaxing vibes, wisdom, inspiration.
And then under that, what do you seek to do? Like your purpose in the world?
be inspired and be inspiring.
When you say that, like, you want to be inspiring, okay, how? I will read to you something that I wrote that was like, who are you? Who are you? I am Kevin McCove. I have conflicting thoughts often. I'm daring. I'm a determined person. However, I'm also easily discouraged. Not to the point that I will stop, but to the point that my effort will diminish to the point of not achieving. I'm a hypercritical person, but largely of other people from a verbal standpoint. I rarely hold myself to the same standard, especially verbally. I will taunt and gloat about myself while bashing, shaming, and criticizing others, often my closest friends and family members. On the inside, in silent chambers of my mind, I'm hypercritical to myself. I will often paralyze my ability to do virtually anything well or to completion due to these mental conversations. I'm capable of great quantities of love and compassion. However, just the same as other fruits, I can be callous and cold to a self-disturbing degree. I'm a man of great appetite. Finding fulfillment is often difficult. I tend to always be looking for something more, often to the detriment and loss of what I already have. Frequently, if not always, leaving me with nothing in both the spiritual and physical sense. I am a creature of faith. So I wrote these very honest things down about myself, like truly honest to myself. That's like the real that I want you to get to. Real things that people often don't verbalize.
So I'm going to write and be insightfully straight. Like when I was listening to you, I was like, oh my goodness, no, that can't be you. Why is he telling me all this? Then the next thought was, this is absolutely incredible. This man is being so vulnerable. How courageous is he? Then the next thought was, oh my gosh, he's being insightfully straight. Bingo.
That's what I need you to be. What it will do is it will help inform a lot about what you truly, the things that you can truly deeply connect to. There are going to be some intrinsic values that you connect to when you're honest with yourself like that. So if we now go over to like the movies list that you put, we have Almost Famous, Eat, Pray, Love, A Star is Born, One Day, Ella Enchanted, Mamma Mia, Prom, The Hang, Over Series, Across the Universe, Wizard of Oz, Little Mermaid, Tangled, Grease, Titanic, The Notebook, 13 Going on 30, Crazy Stupid Love. Honestly, there's a lot of fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
That is an intrinsic value. It doesn't matter how many movies are here. They virtually all touch on this fantasy of love and desire.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Weird.
Like you have an inclination to the visual telling of romantic fantasy, which means that Gemma may be as well. She's experienced heartbreak. She's experienced heartbreak to an incredible degree because she got married to like her high school sweetheart and that didn't work out. When you get married to your high school sweetheart, you are thinking that you sort of have the fairy tale. There's probably a reason why you created her to marry her high school sweetheart. That like yeah. Some of that fantasy and desire has bled into the person that you've created. But Gemma is real. Again, like when you think of like, how would I like to be sold to? Part of this is visually, you want to be sold a fantasy, a dream, this longing, this unattainable, this magical experience. Those key words are important to kind of stick off to the side because part of your brand needs to feel magical. All of the essence of those things, even like fantastic in terms of like the story. There is an element of comedy that may be something that you want to experiment with.
I already do. I find myself speaking in between songs to my audience and they laugh. I actually discovered it this year. Like I'm actually funny. People laugh. I tell stories in between and have people laughing.
Theme for angsty love. Because that exists in Friends for sure. Bridgerton, You, Emily in Paris. Love is Blind, One Tree Hill kind of stuff. That's like drama too. But it's drama geared towards relationships and this like deep love. And like oftentimes like these people that can't let each other go, like there's a little bit of like toxicity. You like drama. You like toxicity.
Talk about that. So many of the relationships I've been in have been trauma bonds. What do you mean? There's like nothing wrong, like ever? Like there has to be something wrong. There has to be.
that's what came out of my mouth. And I realized that so much time of my life has been spent in survival. And so with regards to being boring, but the boring is that there's no drama. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to run from. There's nothing to judge or have a concern for. And it occurs like boring. I was so like, there has to be something wrong and I'm going to go find it. There has to be, it can't just be this good. A few layers down was like, I can't possibly be deserving of something this good. There has to be something wrong. This mindset, like the grass is greener on the other side. Be satisfied with how things are. There has to be something better, and they will go and they will destroy the things that are like working in their lives in the pursuit of something better, rather than just be fulfilled what they have and accept that they're worthy of having it. Sometimes it occurs like it's okay because it's familiar, but it's actually really toxic and dangerous. But it feels okay because it's familiar. And it's almost like the mind goes and says, I know how to survive this because it's familiar, but that doesn't mean it's healthy for you. Like you said, it's like, well, that's already existing in my current vortex of reality. So in some ways I seek it out because in some ways it's become part of my identity.
So now we're putting things together. Because if you create art like this, you already know people seek it. Just because you're in a space of moving out of toxicity does not mean that your understanding of toxicity is any less than the new thing that you're acquiring. Think of it like math. In calculus, your brain is focused on formulas and concentration is going to be talking about calculus. And it's not going to be on addition and subtraction. But the truth is that the only reason that you can get to the space of calculus is because of your thing of addition is greater than your understanding of calculus.
Yes.
Understanding of toxic relationships and drama, identity and validation. That's the message that you can use to come out in your music. And in your music, you can write it in a way that directs people into the space that you are headed into, or the space that you wish for them to head into. If you just write music about like where you want things to be, it will be very hard to touch on the heart of people who are not there. Just like you said, it was a little harder to have these conversations with your partner when he didn't have the tools. You gotta meet them where they are.
And then bring them through with me.
Exactly, and bring them through with you.
Like even when we chose to keep my name as Angie Faith, I said, faith is that place that we turn to when we all want to be seen, like heard and understood. That's what faith means to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because part of you, part of your identity. Okay, so I see a certain inconsistency. Gemma doesn't seem like she's the type that eats burgers or chocolate covered pretzels and chocolate cake. If she did, maybe it's a special occasion or something like that. But this is good. This is good, period, because what it is a certain inconsistency that's good to identify. I don't read books. I listen to audiobooks sometimes. Artist Way is the last audiobook that I listen to. That's totally fine. Plenty of people don't read books.
Yeah, recently I've discovered podcasts, and honestly, I have you to thank because I scroll through Instagram and I get like reels, little chunks of content that I like, comment on, share. One person, a person I love listening to, it's like, I love listening to Abraham Hicks. I just naturally get into this really productive, motivated space.
Like, that's something that you might want to share. Looking at his page right now and very much in the space of mindfulness.
Can sense the way that they speak. It's kind of brainwashing, but it's not bad. Like I'm okay with it. Like I'm consciously making an effort. This doesn't feel like it's bad information. They'll say something like, this is going to be the most important thing we have to say. And so you really want to listen to them. That's the hook. Maybe, or maybe that's just the way they speak.
Well, it's probably thought out. You need to stay on the content.
The basis of your life is freedom. The purpose of your life is joy. The something of your life is growth. And so freedom, joy, and growth are three components that I would say like create who I am as a person. Freedom, joy, and growth. Not so much that it's the ultimate truth. It's just my truth. With Abraham Hicks, it's a very positive experience, more so than I've ever felt with any kind of literature or church experience, like even meditations. There's something really distinct about Abraham Hicks that like speaks to my soul and has me become motivated.
Should find out what that is. It seems like it's something that you also want to do. Yeah. And there's a methodology behind how it's being done.
Yeah.
So there is an ideology will likely reach a lot of Christians because Christianity is an Abrahamic faith.
Interesting.
You know, it's not without thought. And that's what I mean about just like having intention. Who's not going to have much friction against this? These types of teachings, Christians aren't. It's essentially a take on some of the same principles that you might find in the Bible. If you've been exposed to it, you already have an inclination towards these particular thoughts and beliefs. That's already a particular target audience. And you fall into that target audience, you have a cross on your neck. You know, so you're at least dialed into that ideology enough to wear a symbol of its representation and to broadcast it to the world. If you're going to put it on your body, you're broadcasting it to the rest of the world. There's a reason why you chose a cross and not a pentagram. It's just an umbrella. Looking at one of the things right now, and it's like, you get what you are offering vibrationally. Mm-hmm. This is language that opens you up to a broader base than just Christians, because language is important, right? So mm-hmm. Christians are also going to read that and see you reap what you sow. However, mm-hmm. if you use the language, you reap what you sow, you will push away a large group of people that have negative associations with Christianity or negative associations with religion. But you can disguise religion with different words. It's totally. In a passive way, the advertisement, but the message is not passive. The message itself, even in their hook that you described, there's urgency behind it. There is necessity, change. They've cued you to, this is important. You need it now. Change will happen after you do this, and it won't take much of your time. In the creator vocabulary, this is like what they would deem value-based content. This is not for entertainment. It's to deliver.
No.
There has to be a mix in the content that you provide.
I'm writing it down. Yep.
That is, how much of your content is value-based content? How much of your content is entertainment? Do you blend them? How do you do that? And all of that is part of the experimentation phase, you know, where you'll experiment with different things. Magazines, don't read them. The same thing with books, like a music-based artist thing. You consume that type of content for education and aspiration. Shoes, Little Burgundy and Aldo. So what like price point is that?
Aldo's more expensive.
When we say expensive, what is the price
well,
point? Because expensive like could be like $5,000 shoes.
Right.
Are we talking like $150 shoes?
Yeah.
That's good to know, because really what it's saying is that it's probably at a price point for someone who makes $40,000 to $50,000 a year. Right. Yeah, they're not going to like Christian Louboutin.
Yeah.
That's important. That's a price point for your audience. And I think that Gemma probably fits into that price point. Sunglasses, Shoppers, Reflora, Aldo, Old Navy. Okay, so congruent with the shoes. Razor, the flamingo, feminine, it's got the color thing going on. So there's an element of femininity. And that is also reflected in movie selection and stuff too. There's a lot of like hyper feminine stuff in there. So there's an element of femininity expressed. Shaving cream, anything from Lush, gaming system, don't game. Cool. So that will not be in your target audience, gamers. Doesn't mean that you can't reach them. It just means that they're not your primary target. Cereal, Honey Nut, Cinnamon Cheerios, Cocoa Puffs, Corn Flakes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This is interesting. When you say Corn Flakes, do you like Corn Flakes or you like Frosted Flakes?
Probably the sugar ones.
Yep. And I asked that question because I imagined that when you said Corn Flakes, you actually meant Frosted Flakes, because congruently, you like eat sugary stuff.
Yeah.
Like when it goes from cereal to dining, there's an emphasis on sweets, and that's how to be congruent, right? Like it's not a problem that you like sugar. It's just probably something that you might want to highlight.
Emphasis on sweets. Childlike, colorful, femininity, affordable.
Social media, Facebook, IG, TikTok.
I like pieces of content that bring me value, that tell me like how to like emotionally regulate, support my partner, bringing value to me. Side
where we talked about like the content that you want to create, and talking about the Abraham Hicks kind of like, okay, there's a version of that type of content that you probably want to go into making. Think of content and platform or whatever, you know, like, so you make the content tailored to the platform that it's on. If I like to watch spiritual stuff and self-help, if I'm going to create that content, how do people that create that type of content, how do they make it? What's the format? Let's use Abraham Hicks as an example. Go to their TikTok and then create a video off of their video. You don't even have to generate content yourself. You can react to the content. I watched this today. You just told me, like, you know, so I laid down and I watched this and then I felt so motivated. So if you're looking to feel motivated, you should listen to this. In a way, you're promoting them, but that's fine because you will also snag their audience. The people who feel the same way about Abraham Hicks that you do, they may be interested in seeing how it affects you and they relate because it affected them the same way. And they may comment and say, oh my God, I watched this too. And I did the same thing. And now you're building rapport. Cars, I don't really have a preference. I think Teslas are cool. Yeah, you definitely, Gemma drives a blue one.
Yeah.
why does Gemma drive a Tesla?
They're a cool looking car. I'm so cool. Like that's saving the planet without like all the gas. I shudder to think about the air.
There's an ideology that you're into. You can use that to your advantage. If we wanted to go gung ho, you hurt the environment way more trying to mine lithium. There's certainly less lithium in the world than there is oil. Then there's like safety and like, okay, well, what happens if they just like shut down all the cars and you can't go where you want to go? And there's all kinds of reasons to argue any side, right? That's what positions are, right? Positions exist so that there can be another position. And
I love that.
If like, you know, like that's what it is. It's like, all right,
this positions is, exist so that there could be another position.
Yeah. And it's fine because what did Tesla do for you? Did it market to your head or to your heart?
I don't know. Honestly, like I just thought it was cool. Like,
remember, you were trying to figure out how do you like to be sold to so that you can sell the same way. So there's something about how Tesla sold you, made you say, I don't need to get more information about this, nor do I want to. That's beautiful. That's great marketing. Pay attention to the vernacular that's used. Let's just say they're pro gas, oil, fossil fuels, anything like that. Then it's called climate change. It can be hotter, colder, rainy. It could be dry. Change in climate. And we're comfortable with changes in climate because we understand that if you go to different areas of the world or even areas of your country, there are different climates. It's easier to accept climate change. It is much more divisive and powerful to say global warming because it says the entire world is heating up. But you don't put those things together and you don't try to think about it because it's not what you're sold. Now we have information on your psychographic profile. I want you to take this information and create a code, your anchors, your points, and your values. Who is Angie Faith? Your points, what is the why Angie Faith does this? Who she is and why she does it. For values, you can think of that like how Angie Faith does it. So who you are, why, and then how. You might want to ask yourself in that category of style and genre, is it new? Is it unique? Or does it have a spacious home in the market? It does not need to be new or unique or have a spacious home in the market. You don't have to try to force it into those spaces, but it's good to know. Once you have all of those things, then we can get into the ethos part of things.
Oh, good. So it probably makes sense that I only got so far with the ethos.
I don't want you to feel lost in this process.
I really appreciate that. It's like, I really want to thank you. I feel like I've invested a lot of time and money and worked with like a lot of people throughout my career. And I feel like I'm getting a lot of value working with you. We've only known each other for a short period of time, but I definitely feel the value in speaking with you. Thank you.
No, thank you. I'm glad you feel that way. You could feel that way. You know, thank you. Seriously.
This is really valuable. Like, I don't even know if I could really fully articulate the extraordinary need for this. And I didn't really know that it was a need. It was kind of a blind spot until we started to do this work. And until you and I started talking, this has definitely been a missing for me in my career. It's not a lack of talent for me. And it's certainly not a lack of dedication. What's missing is a bit of focus. And also what's missing is being discovered. Doing this exercise, I'm really present to like being on a social platform, being on the radio, putting yourself out in the public eye to be known by the masses is a part of the equation. Answering these questions and knowing who you're selling to, providing value and where you're providing entertainment
is what's going to make the difference in actually staying connected. This is what we wrote down, right? It's so interesting and it's so on point. It's like, meet the people where they are and bring them through with me and join them on the journey. And before this conversation, I would have reversed it to saying, have them join me on my journey. I can see how as an artist, it's like how it's been about me, join me, contribute to me, vote for me. But it's like interesting when you read, join them on the journey, meet them where they're at. There's been a lack of me being able to be responsible for, like, I'm selling. I would even say that the fantasy and the childlike tendencies that are me, that are my identity, have been not willing to come to terms with that I'm selling. And so without a proper plan, without being able to acknowledge that and market and sell, because I don't want to acknowledge that I'm selling, of course, I've gotten as far as I've gotten. Of course.
And selling's not a dirty word.
It's not a dirty word. Honestly, I can think of over two handfuls of people who talk about selling themselves with a negative context. It doesn't have to be dirty. It doesn't have to be negative, but it definitely has to be brought to the conversation. Like, you have to actually accept you are marketing a product. That's been a huge missing. Like, at first I was like, why are you asking me these questions? Like, what? Like, I was so taken aback and I wasn't not open to that. No, but I was like, why is he asking these questions? What difference is it going to make? But having this call and the way that you helped me identify, it's so important. I see such value in it. And I thank you. I thank you so much. Like, really, thank you.
Thank you. It's going to make a difference. It's not just for you and for me. I have confidence that elements of this will work. And that is what I need, what we need. People like to see an example. Testimonials make a difference to people. If you can prove a system can have an impact, doesn't have to fulfill, it has to have an impact, then it's easier for other people to adopt it.
Uh-huh.
And that means that collectively, the work that we're doing not only has the possibility and probability of helping your career, but it has that effect on anyone else who gets exposed to this way of doing things. And they will be more receptive to it. Because essentially the same thing you said, like, I'm kind of like, what is this? I don't really know, blah, blah. You know, it's like, yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. So
this is me literally doing the same work that you were trying to do of figuring out, like, okay, who is my audience? How do they want to be sold to? It's like, it doesn't matter if you have the information, if you can't get it inside of someone else. I'm learning this whole time. This is a learning process for me too. You know, hopefully I will become better at it and be able to do it in a much shorter period of time and stuff, you know, but also articulate it in some type of like book or something that I can get to people so that they can literally have some type of material that has a material effect on their life.
Yeah.
And you are at the core of that.
That's so cool. Wow. It's like, this is a demonstration of what it looks like to be inspired and to become inspiring. Because for me, I only exist in the listening of others. And that's a really particular sentence. But I get it that I'm only going to become inspiring if other people listen to me as inspiring, the person speaking. But if you grant me the listening of I'm listening to you as inspiring, then that has me become inspiring.
It's the same thing. It's another access point for someone to join the journey. But this can be used as a way to give someone an access point to the journey.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes to read books or magazines. Cool. Some people like to scroll down social media and look at videos. All right, let me meet them where they are. That means I got to record myself all the time. All right. Maybe it's not, you know, what I would wish and desire, but what is the impact I want to make on the world?